And you might include them, for example, yourself or other people that I've seen, but they never get messy around their emotions. You know? And is that inherent in knowing that the self is
more or less there is a messy. Okay? More or less messy situation there. But in the messy situation, well, I think the difference is that the enlightened wise person can see the himself as he is, right in the middle of messy, a little bit the calm and that's all. Well, like a Buddha is walking on the street with human shape and of course uniform is different, but human beings are human beings. And when he saw the Brahmin who tried to argue his lifestyle, tried to hurt, and somebody tried to hurt his life, but still he is watching and face this situation, a little bit messy situation in his life. Well, if you read the Agama, very naturally you can feel how Buddha Shakyamuni was really human, suffering, okay? I mentioned maybe when begging, do you remember? Buddha was a little hesitating to leave their village because nobody gave any food. That's why he wanted to come back, but according to the rule of monastery, he shouldn't come back. So only one time, once. You should go pass through the village and leave, whatever happens. Okay? That is kind of a little hesitation, means little messy situation of his life. But still, he is just walking. Okay? So bodhisattvas, and that's why bodhisattva walks hand in hand with all sentient beings and living. That's why they are going to the, if you read the Vimana theories, then bodhisattva always go to the hell world, okay? If you go hell, hell is hell. Pretty messy world. If you go to the darkness, and the darkness and darkness, so you feel dark. But that Vimala Kirti Sutra says, bodhisattva will never be in the darkness. Means, not, well, still he stand up straight there.
Without
emotion,
we can't do anything?
No. We cannot do anything.
So, is that, what are the
emotions about? Well, because your body is already in motion, Your thinking is already in motion. You know, process of your cognition is already emotion, involving emotion, otherwise you cannot experience the process of cognition, okay? Very quickly, in a moment the process of your cognition connected with emotions. So without emotions you cannot know cognition. So your body, whatever part of your body is, all the body connected with emotion. For instance, the process of cognition is, according to Buddhism, feeling is first acceptance, okay? You face the object and then at the first stage you accept. That is a feeling. You know, Nipajnaparamita say form, feeling, perception, impulses, consciousness, etc. Feeling is acceptance, receiving. at the first stage, and then the protection coming up, okay? And then evaluation or judgment coming up. And then after judgment, and then affective preferences comes. Okay? And then like or dislike will take place. Then people stumble over by like or dislike. And then cry again, and then finally we don't know where we are going. That is a messy world. So almost as human beings are always living in that last place, you know, in the realm of affective preferences. It's very difficult to pass through the simple. But more or less, we are connected with the emotion, like or dislike. That's why Dogen didn't bring up like this. If you see flower, already there is emotion. If you see weeds, already emotion there. And you think so? So how can you, question is, how can you deal with the weeds? You say, yes, weeds is a Buddha. I don't think you can deal with all those weeds as a Buddha. On the other hand, weeds is weeds, you should hate it. You cannot do it. You know, even the dandelions blooming in the yard, how do you deal with the dandelions? Okay? It's a very strong weeds. But flowers there. How can you cut out the, how do you mourn? You know, it's pretty hard. Someone always asks me, don't cut, you know, in the country land, and more, you know, land and beautiful flowers, and if someone says, why do you cut beautiful flowers? All this question coming up. So you can deal, how do you deal with flowers or weeds? There is no idea particularly. That's a really question.
Are we talking about the general non-attachment as a way to relate with emotions, beginning of practice, middle of practice, end of practice,
mm-hmm.
and only that you're more proficient at it than we, perhaps.
Only what?
More proficient.
Proficient?
Proficient, better at it than we. But actually it's the same practice.
Excuse me, I don't follow you.
I'm asking, are we not here talking about non-attachment to emotions? Like an emotion comes up, Buddha walking through the village, at the end of the village he had little emotion, little doubt, maybe he should go back for one reason or another, either he was hungry or maybe he thought it was better if he gave the people another chance or whatever, right? So he perhaps doesn't attach to that emotion and keeps walking. What I was asking was, is it not the same practice in the beginning of, is it not the same technique or method at the beginning of practice, this business about non-attachment, as it is in the middle or the end, only that you are, what the Buddha is, more better at it. And that for regular people, emotions are so strong and come up. Like if I was at the end of the village and I'd be walking five more steps and then I'd get the same thought again, well, maybe I really ought to go back. You know, so it keeps coming up and maybe much stronger when I really am hungry and maybe I just turn around and go back.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, are we talking about not grasping the emotion again and again and again?
Yeah, I understand, but I think if you say so, I think you already deal with emotion in terms of not attachment. But before you deal with emotion in terms of not attachment or attachment, there is something you have to do. How you fix emotion?
Well, I would say Right. I would say when the emotion comes up, excuse me for belaboring the point, but when the emotion comes up, then you are, you completely feed that emotion, hungry or anger or doubt or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's it's individually different.
Whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, if you let that emotion go, okay, then the next thing maybe is keeping walking. It may very well be that the next thing is, yes, turn around and go back.
First point, I mentioned before, okay?
Yeah.
One is emotion, then naturally we always face emotions in terms of some idea, not attachment. Well, because you unconsciously we have some idea, some understanding of emotions, you know? Emotion is pretty troublemaker. So then unconsciously we believe this, and that's why we face and unconsciously we deal with emotion in terms of this idea, not attachment. So we forget most important noble attitude toward emotions. Before you judge, you deal with emotion in terms of attachment or not attachment. So means in the first stage, okay, I think I and you and everyone may be different way to deal with emotions. Okay? Maybe you go back to the village again and asking that you practice again. Okay? Or maybe I go back to in the village and scream, give me the food. Maybe this is emotion. Or maybe some of you, anyway, go back to the city and then village and fight with somebody else, you know? Well, many emotions, but what's wrong, in a sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone, I and the B person, C person, anyway, stumble over this emotion, by this emotion, okay? And then create a bump. And through the bump, well, they can learn. So from this point of view, what's wrong? It's not wrong. But I don't think you should always follow in that way. There is no particular pattern, okay? Because individual difference. So if I say, I have my own individual pattern how to deal with emotions, and that is ism, my ism. That's dangerous. So that's why I have to. I can have ism, but I have to polish ism. For this, how do I polish ism? So I want to go back to the village and ask a scream. And right in the middle of the village, but, well, let's go, let's leave. I can do. That is a negative way. A little bit negative. That negative is to polish my life, emotion, my ism. Okay? Yes, negative is, otherwise, we cannot, there is no way to polish. The individual is an individual experience. So very naturally put aside my own lifestyle, my own patterns, and then go following the Buddha's rules, something like that. It's not convenient. For me, because I put my way aside. That's why it's not convenient for me, but in order to understand my ism, my lifestyle, beyond my lifestyle, I have to fight a certain way. Okay? That's why Buddha leaves. So, but basically in terms of self-nature, well, everyone has a reason why they exist. Whatever kind of emotion you have, everyone has a different reason why they exist. So whatever you do, that's fine. Unclubbery, kira, fine. Wherever they are. But think we should, if you have a certain capability to be a bank robbery, you know, in this world, universal bank robbery, see, that's fine. But still, you have to be bank robber beyond bank robber. Okay? So, even though you want to do, maybe you shouldn't do it. That's the inconvenient. But this is a pretty best way.
So it isn't as simple as just saying non-attachment to emotion.
Mm-hmm. That's the simple. So stumble over. Attachment, you attach me because attachment or not attachment, whatever it is, the attachment. Did you?
So, you're explaining your style. I've witnessed many different styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a little confusing. Sometimes, you know, some people say no a lot, like you, always try to be good, and some people have a different style, you know, they completely go with what the feeling is, usually, or if the occasion seems to warrant it, and those teachers say, and that's all Buddhist teachers I've met, you know, that you should completely do it, whatever you do.
And the teacher says to you and to follow the teacher's way, that's what you mean?
Well, the teacher's way, the teacher says to the student, whatever you do, you should completely do it. And then I watch the teacher, and one teacher gets angry but says no and walks away, and then the teacher gets angry and hits you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... So I notice different styles, you know, and I think, okay, it's just personal style, you know. But, so what my question is how can you know that you said the enlightened person knows what they're doing while they're in it, or something like that.
Well, that's why. Well, you mentioned that some teacher says, do what as you like, you know, do it. You know? That's fine, in a sense, that it's true. That's why I say, whatever kind of lifestyle you have, if you want to go back to the village, you can go back to the village, express your emotion, but I don't know how much it's the effect, you know. Question is, you have, your life is not only your life. Your life is your life with all beings. Okay? So you go back to the village and express this is your way. But that is, you know, you have to share that expression of emotion with the people. So very naturally, it's not your own problem, but it's huge problem. That's why teachers scold you and hit you sometimes, you know. And then we stumble over emotions of what you have done. But through this, we can learn what we should do in the future. But I don't mean you should always go in by your own way. That's why before to let you do as you like, sometimes I have to put you in a different way. But people don't accept. Now that is a different way, means seeing the Buddha's teaching anyway. Universal perspective. Okay? How universal, in the universal perspective, how do we live? Okay? How Kalagiri should live with the trees and birds and sharing my life with all beings. Living in peace and harmony. This is a final, you know, this is a very serious questions. Not ideas. How do I live day to day? Do you understand? I have a lot of ideas and I have a lot of understanding of Buddha's teaching, but that is a secondary. Understanding teaching and understanding ancestors, that's fine. But the question is, how do I live right now? Okay? With all of you, living in peace and harmony. The question come back to you right now. So I think that's why your lifestyle is your lifestyle, fine, but it's not fine. Okay? You just look at the indigenous, your lifestyle is your lifestyle. Okay? Because your lifestyle becomes Buddha Dharma. At that time, your lifestyle is fine. But your lifestyle doesn't have any substance of its own. So, no lifestyle. You have to go back to the zero anyway. So, two ways, okay? In a concrete way, you should accept total, beyond acceptance or not acceptance, you should accept, respect you, your lifestyle, individual life, everyone. Second, you have to go back to the zero. Okay? That is most important. Zero means open yourself. Don't have cling to your own lifestyle. Accept it totally, but open. Okay? Come back to the zero. That's a little hard because it's negative. And then you can see, you can learn. You can learn the total picture of human life. Okay? Total picture means a total picture of your life, including others, including trees, birds, nature. Okay? That is the way. And then naturally, though in the dimensions, your life is really going with your emotions and people's emotions, naturally. So that's why you must be very careful of dealing with your lifestyle. Because you see the lifestyle with the emotions. That emotion is really connected with the other's emotions. Well, so very naturally, how do we take care of my lifestyle? It's very complicated. Like, how do we take care of we's? Can't you take care of we's in terms of idea? It's Buddha. Or it's not Buddha. Can't you? Well, intellectually we say so. It's pretty hard. So, very naturally, there is some rules and sometimes, you know, Is that clear? Is that all right?
That's one angle.
What is it? When we're moving through those steps, form, feeling, perception,
impulses,
consciousness. Now, which one is that I like, I don't like?
Well, particularly there is nothing to say, but because it's always talking about the very basic human consciousness, the function of the human consciousness. Okay? Mm-hmm. So form is materialistic world, and feeling is all in this is a, the feeling is a very first stage of feeling. So that is including intellectual, including intellectual, okay? Intellectual emotion. But it's very basic. First stage of, you know, human emotion, human intellect.
You're calling it acceptance.
Yes, that's what, yes. That kind of a mirror.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is feeling, we say. And then next perception, that is, we create the image, you know, through the perceptions and the ideas and the perception, form, feeling, perception, impulses means the very basic function of activities. Some moving, something moving there. Even after perception, you know, creating image and something, the ideas, some ideas, and then very naturally there is some energy there. There is we say impulses, you know. In Sanskrit, I think sanskara. Sanskara means well, the together maker. Together maker means, what can I say? Some energy. Some energy coming from all parts.
Mm-hmm.
Intellect and, you know, the emotions and the external object, the internal object, many things. And then that is the energy coming. Create in terms of Buddhist term, create produced by conditional elements. Okay, so that is we call impulses. But in Sanskrit, sanskara, very basic function of activities. Then create consciousness. Well, you know, step by step, you know.
And is consciousness then where we do this like and dislike?
Yeah, the concept, yes, including.
Okay. And this all happens like very quick.
Very quick.
Through this.
Yes, at a moment.
And it happens in every instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no way to avoid discriminating.
No.
I like, I dislike.
Yes, that's why form is not separate from the rest of things. Form is simultaneously, you know, feeling, perception, impulses, consciousness. So that's why your emotion is not something separate from your body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So your body is emotion. If you touch some part, wherever it is, that's emotion. Don't you think so? Even though I don't pinch myself by myself, it feels strongly, but still, I feel this, and if I touch my body, you know, this is emotional already. So consciousness also connected with emotion, so very natural, very complicated. And also consciousness connected with the memories. Memories comes from beginning with past. You have a lot of memories, you know. You don't believe it, but lots of memories. That's why if you sit down, lots of memories coming up. And sometimes 25 years ago, some memories coming up. Well, I always experience, you know, sitting there. And then memories of being at the so-called temple, you know, coming up. Suzuki Roshi coming up. And disappears. So memories are really connected with millions of years ago. Yes, it is. That's why very complicated. That is emotion. That is emotion. That's why emotion is very intellectual. Intellect is a little more simple, a little simpler than emotion.
You said we all have a reason why we exist. Is it important to know the reason why we exist?
Well, I think it's important to be, but I think even though you don't know the reason why you live, you exist, but maybe there is a unique way to taste the reason why. That is, you know, the religion mentions in this kind of teaching, you can practice it in your everyday life. Then you naturally see the reason why you exist.
Could you give an example of the reason why someone exists? Could you give an example of the reason why someone exists? Could you tell us why you exist, or
well,
if you know why they exist?
Well, actually, I think there is a complete beyond the reason or not reason. That is a real reason why we exist. That Buddha mentioned, those invention mentions, all dharmas are Buddha dharma. Means that before you create a reason, okay? Reason is always something you try to produce. Okay? Then, do you have a reason? Well, you don't have a reason. Okay. So, reason or not reason. But before this, there is already existence. Pure existence. So that's why this is formless, pure nature of life. This is a reason why you exist. So, no reason. That's it. You understand? Actually, no reason. Then that means then you can create naturally your own reason why I come to United States. No. Before this, why Karagiri come to be United States? No reason. Because United States and the Japan, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. This is a human world. Everyone can be. So, where I am living, I am living in the realm of formless, pure nature of life, universe. And then I can create some reason why I come here. That is still, I can explain it, but that reason is exactly total reason. Because the reason is very universal. Why I become a monk, I don't know, actually. Why really, I don't know. But if I say about the reason which I don't know, it becomes mysterious something. Some mysterious. Because mysterious things already they exist in my life. For instance, I ate the incense stick. I mentioned that one of the my reason I became a monk, I say. You know, how do you understand this one? You ate the incense stick? Then I said, my brothers and this brother says, I understand why you want to be monk, you know? So I said, my brother always believed. Reason, other reason why I become a monk. It's pretty mysterious. So reason itself is not a small world. It's very, very big. So finally, I don't know. But you can still see the reason why you exist. As best as we can, we try to know. Okay. But even though you don't know, don't worry. Okay.
What do the incense say for?
Or maybe you can give a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Can't eat now.
for that. Strange, isn't it?
So, I'm just saying, if one doesn't know why one is here, something about maybe my life isn't any different if I know or if I don't know.
Don't worry.
And don't worry.
Don't worry. You all basically you have to live in a big scale of the world, and then through the life, past, present, future, right? And then, what we can do, what we should do is to try to know the reason why you exist as best as we can. That's all I can do. If I cannot see, that's fine. But there is no guarantee actually. I can do what I cannot do. No. There is no guarantee because it's a huge world. So, first of all, I have to face my life in a huge world, including past, present, future, anyway. And then, in that huge territory, all I can do is to try to know, to try to reach the best way. Okay? Try to know the best way, try to know the reason why I exist, as best I can. But there is no guarantee, so probably I couldn't. That's fine. So all we can, I can do is just make effort to live with sincerity, in really the best way. So you can feel a bit of relief. But if I say you should know the reason why, you always create tensions, you know? Because finally, you don't know what's the reason why you exist. You hate your life.
Now, are you talking of... Are you talking of, like, the big reason?
Huh?
Why we exist? Huh? Are you talking... In my thinking, there's, like, a couple things here. One is... the big reason, and that would be, I'm remembering my catechism as a Catholic, and it's like, why were you born? You were born to know God, to love Him, and serve Him.
Oh.
And so that's like the big reason.
Oh, big reason, I see.
And then I deal with the little reasons, which is like, what is my work here? What do I have to give? And that feels kind of maybe very egocentric, as if I have a gift other than someone else's. And so when you're talking about the reason to exist, do you see it as two different things or?
Not two.
I didn't think you would.
Mm-hmm. If I tried to explain two things, but I don't think that it's two things. Well, I'm not talking of big things, you know, big reasons.
I'm not talking big reasons.
That's why I say what you can do is, what I can do is to make every possible effort to reach a certain purpose in that. That's all I can do. But where you are standing, okay? Mm-hmm. In a small world or big world? That makes you different. Do you understand? That's all. So not that's why I said that you have to stand up in the big scale of the world, including past, present, future, life after life, anyway, eternity. Maybe we say God, but it's something more than God, anyway. So actually, in a big scale of the world, there is nothing to complete in your whole life because it's pretty big. Even though you do that, then there is no complete, you know. There is no chance to complete practice of zazen in your whole life, in your lifetime, you know. Because even zazen is pretty big. But, so all we have to do is first, you know, we have to deal with zazen and your life and the other's life and gassho, whatever, in the big scale of the world. And then, in this big scale of the world, what we can do is to try to do our best to complete zazen, practice zazen. But there is no guarantee. So, maybe not. But if I cannot do in this lifetime, maybe I can carry it to the next life, and next life again and again. Probably. Otherwise, you always create tensions and nervousness and...
Seems to me that you know, the attitude that you can't complete it and just continue forever creates nervousness, because we like to think that we could finish something and then we could achieve something and then we can try hard, but if we think we'll finish, then sometimes we get discouraged and say, well, fuck it, don't want to try.
Well, that is laziness.
Yeah.
Yes. So you cannot, in a big world, there is no idea you should hold, take care of your life in turn with a certain idea, laziness or hard, etc. So that is the first attitude. How do you take care of your life? Mm-hmm. No completion, no opportunity to complete means nothing to handle your life with a particular ideas. Hard work or not hard work. So that is the first attitude toward human life. But everyone faces human life with a particular idea, you know. Hard work, you know. Do, you know, good boys, you know. Complete, you know. Then deal with it. Because it's kind of an encouragement. But it's a cause of creating patience. So first attitude is more open. You should open yourself and then do your best. That's pretty nice. So do your best means hard work, not hard with not hard work, not lazy. So day to day, if you as best as we can, you should do it. That's all. Even though you don't like it, probably sometimes you have to do it. Even though you feel tired, maybe sometimes you should push it. Mm-hmm. You should practice it. So, always, you know, day by day, always you have to take care of your life. Because always laziness, hard work, always come to exist together. We don't know what we should choose.